Oh, I think maybe they both are. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what that is, depressing.
I brought a book. It's a great book. You should read the book. If you care at all about your church, you should read this book. But I'm going to give it to someone maybe. Later on, I'm going to ask you. We talk about it all the time. We talk about, I just want to grow. I want my faith to grow. All that sort of language. Here's my question that I want you to tell me in a later session. When faith grows, what is the specific thing that grows? Now, I might be wrong, but if you guess what I guess, you get a book. When we grow as Jesus follows, when faith grows, what is the thing that was small and gets bigger? That's my question for later. So, my little reminder for you as we go through the weekend. Where is God? What is he saying to you? This is the talk that doesn't quite fit in to the scheme of all the talks. But there's a loose link. In talk one, we talked about love. Remember that bit? Love. And 1 Corinthians 13, that's the lovey chapter, isn't it? And so it does connect in. And we read 1 Corinthians at weddings because it's all sweet and lovely. Except I think when you actually read it, it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit terrifying because there's something in there that is really a bit weird, as far as I can tell. So I've been married 25 years and I'm not doing a brilliant job of it, but we're still together. And as I reflect on 25 years of ups and downs, I read through 1 Corinthians 13 and I go, oh, I don't know about that, Paul. But some of you aren't married, are you? There's probably maybe one or two here. So as we jump into this, I want you to, because this applies to every relationship. This applies to your church. This may even help you out training your dog. Your dog may be more obedient at the end of this talk. Possibly, I'm not guaranteeing anything. But in your life, if there was one relationship you could make better, what relationship would that be? Father, son, brother, daughter, marriage partner. You know, if there's one relationship that could be improved today, what would that be? Can you keep a secret? Because it's a small world. That was very cool. I'm going to assume you can. My wife's short, but she's scary. And she tricked me into marriage, okay? She totally did. When I met Monica, she was short, she was cute, she was sweet, she was smiling, and she would do anything for me. Honey, can we meet there? Okay. Honey, can you iron my shirt? Yeah, sure, I'd love to. Honey, I'm watching the Knights. Can you take the football out? Sorry, take the bins out? No problem. I can do the bins. Honey, you know what I'm like. I know it's June, and I know it's the middle of winter, and I know it's raining, but I really feel like swimming at the beach. Can we go swimming at the beach? And she'd be like, sure, we can go swimming at the beach. Honey, I want to go motorbike riding. Will you come motorbike riding with me? Sure, I'll come motorbike riding with you. Honey, let's go back to my parents' places. We've got all the horses I had growing up. Let's go horseback riding. Sure, I'd love to go horseback riding with you. Honey, after all that horseback riding, my feet are sore. Will you massage my feet? Sure, I love you. I'll massage your feet. And then you know what happened, don't you? We got married. We got married and I heard something I'd never ever heard before. No. Honey, can you iron my shirt? No. Oh. Honey, I'm watching TV. Can you take the bins out? No. That's a boy job. What? There are no boy jobs dating. Now there's boy jobs? Honey, okay, the bins, don't worry. Let's go dirt bike riding. No. Oh, well, let's go to mum and dad's and go horseback riding. No. Well, come on, honey. At least come into the paddock and pat the horse. No. Well, come out of the house and look at the horse. No. I was tricked into marriage. Can you imagine once we are married what she said when I asked her to rub my feet? It was no longer a good day. To be fair and honest, maybe she was tricked a little bit too. When we were dating, it was a terrible poem, but I still wrote her poetry. Then we got married. Never again. In fact, I was so embarrassed, I took the first poems I wrote her and I took them off her and I hid them away because they were so embarrassing. Here's the thing about marriage. Here's the thing about every single relationship. I'm standing in the way, but there is a gap, a massive chasm, a huge gap between expectations of foot rubs and the reality of no foot rubs. And in every relationship there has ever been or ever will be, there is a great gap, a chasm between expectation of someone being a decent speaker at camp and the reality of what you got. There is a reality gap. Guys get married expecting their wives to take over from where their mum left off, right? And the reality was a rude shock. Girls get married expecting guys to change. Oh, he's great raw material, and when he learns to use deodorant, he'll be perfect. But the reality, was a rude shock. And here's the thing, there's always a gap between reality and expectation, and that gap in the middle is the cause of most of the tension in relationships. Any relationship, but especially marriage. The reality gap is the cause of most of the tension in relationships. And so relationships in general are hard, aren't they? Brother, sister, mother, son, boss, employee, girlfriend, girlfriend. It's hard. I get why the blokes in my soccer team complain and whinge and grumble when we're losing, but I do not get why we complain and whinge and grumble and snipe at each other when we're winning. I don't get it. Relationships are hard and they're hard to get right. And they're hard to get right because there's always this gap between reality and expectation. But here's the thing. What you put in that gap, what you put in the reality gap, will determine whether, in the marriage case, you are man and wife, oh, how sweet, or man versus wife, not so sweet. What you put in that gap shapes all of your relationships. Mother, son, boss, employee, soccer team, all your relationships are shaped by what you put in the gap. Now, I know what a few of the ladies are thinking because I've been a bit rude to my wife and you know what men are like. So you're thinking to yourself, but Matt, if that husband of mine would just do what I said when I said to do it, everything would be fine. wouldn't it? There would be no reality gap. There would be no gap between expectation and reality if he would just do what I said when I said to do it. But here's the problem. Your spouse, your son, your friend, your boss, your employee, they're not a robot. And so there is always, always, always going to be this gap between expectation and reality. If our solution to the reality gap is closing the gap to zero, is absolute obedience, then we will always be frustrated. And you will frustrate your partner with a whole bunch of unrealistic expectations. You'll frustrate yourself, you'll frustrate your partner, and I'm pretty sure you'll end up miserable. And so there will always be this reality gap, but it's what we put in the gap that makes all the difference. I had to pick one relationship as an illustration, but it applies to everything. Even help you with your dog, I said, I'll help with your church. But I'm going to use marriage as an example, but it applies to everything. So I want to take you to the passage that was maybe read at your wedding. It was read at my wedding. If you haven't been married, then you've probably been to weddings where they read this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. And when I read it through, I'm good with most of it. When I read it through, most of it makes really good sense to me. But as I read through, there's one little bit that I'm just not that sure about. So 1 Corinthians 13. And you know what Paul says? Love is patient. Yeah, okay. That makes good sense. I can go with that one. Love is kind. Yeah, that's good sense too. It does not envy. Check. It does not boast. It is not proud. And it's like, yeah, okay, Paul, I got it. I'm with you on that. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Yeah, okay, Paul. I'll forget what she did on September 20th, 1997 at 7:02 in the kitchen where she was wearing UGG boots and a flannelette shirt. And she said, you know what? I'll forget. Yep, love keeps no record of wrongs. I can see the good sense in that. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Fair enough, that sounds good too. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Always, 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 always. You know, Paul, I'm not sure that's such good advice. Always trust Paul, or should I always trust her if there's evidence she's untrustworthy? I mean, I gave her one credit card and she maxed that out, and I gave her another credit card and she maxed that out. Come on, always trust Paul. Don't know if I want to give her a third credit card. Love always trusts. Hey, Paul, doesn't that make love a little bit blind? Isn't that maybe a little bit unrealistic? Hey, come on, Paul. You know what? Surely that's open to abuse, isn't it? Love, he says, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And I think what this means is that we get to choose what we put in the reality gap. There's always that gap between expectation and reality. And I think what he's saying is that we can either assume the best or assume the worst when we come to that gap. You can either assume the best. Again, the marriage illustration, it's 5:30, he's late home from work. I assume, oh well, there must have been something significant at work and that's why he's late. And I know he's working as hard as he can to support the family and he'll do his very, very best to be home as soon as he can because he knows that Janie's got a dance class at 6:30. Let's assume the best. Or assume the worst. Oh my goodness, that beepity beep beep beep. That half-wit has forgotten Janie's dance lesson again. You know what? My sister said he was no good, and my mum said he was no good, and they're right, he's no good. Why did I ever marry this loser? That's assuming the worst, isn't it? And so wherever there's this gap between expectation and reality, you and I get to choose what we put in that gap. And we can either assume the best or we can assume the worst. But love, says Paul, always protects the relationship. Love always trusts your partner. Love always, 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 always hopes for the best rather than assumes the worst. Love always, always, always perseveres even if it's been let down in the past. He comes home late with a present. Walks in the door with that big bunch of flowers. Oh my goodness, what have you done now? That's assuming the worst, right? As soon as he walks in the door, that's assuming the worst. Wow, what lovely flowers. Thank you, honey. That's assuming the best, isn't it? And here's the weird bit. Here's the woo abracadabra magic bit. What you put in the reality gap tends to create reality. Think about that. What you put in the gap tends to create reality. If you put, think about it, if you put assuming the worst in the gap, what tends to happen? You make things worse, don't you? And if we put assuming the best in the gap, we tend to make things better. I want you to think about it, think it through. If you assume the worst, what happens within you? Like your husband, sorry, I better turn it around for a change. You know, your wife's done something wrong and I start to get annoyed and I start to get angry. I start to make that list of all the other things she's done wrong to me. I start to get upset and there starts to be this thing welling up within me, hey? And it starts taking over. And when she finally comes home, when she walks in the door, I've got this big bad attitude within me that's just ready to explode. And then she walks in the door and it's kaboom. And it's on for young and old. When you assume the worst, you tend to create the worst over time. On the other hand, when you assume the best, you tend to create the best over time. When she's done something unexpected, when she's home late, when she's done something wrong, when she's whatever, if I assume the best, what happens within me? Does this big bad attitude start to well up within me if I'm assuming the best? Do I start to get annoyed? Do I start to get frustrated if I'm assuming the best? Is all that churning going on inside when I'm assuming the best? It's not, is it? When she gets to the door, when I'm assuming the best and she opens that door, am I ready to explode? Or am I ready to welcome her home? By assuming her the best, I'm cutting her some slack. I'm giving her some grace. And here's the thing, for those of you who are married, you're an expert at this, aren't you? You are an expert at this when you are dating, cutting one another slack. You are brilliant at that when you are dating. Because your mum came to you and said, son, she's a bit bossy, isn't she? And you're like, mum, no. She's just assertive and I love her so much with all my little heart. And your dad came to you, ladies, didn't he? And he said, daughter, he seems a bit lazy. And you're like, no, dad, he's just cool and groovy and relaxed and I love him with all my little heart. And when we were dating, we cut each other slack. We assumed the best naturally. But so often when we got married, something changed. But here's the big thing, friends, when you assume the best over time, you'll create the best because no one wants to disappoint someone they care about. No one wants to disappoint their spouse. No one wants to disappoint their parents. No one wants to disappoint their children. And I know what you're thinking because I'm arguing with me too. You're thinking, but Matt, come on, be realistic. What happens when you assume the best and they've done or they are doing the worst? Well, if you're assuming the best and they've done the worst, well, quite frankly, you have to have a pretty tough conversation and then get on with assuming the best again. But Matt, doesn't that make love blind? Yeah, a bit, it does. But what's your choice? If you assume the worst, you tend to create the worst. So what option do we have? If you assume the best, if you cut your partner some slack, if you give them some grace, you create the opportunity, the environment for something better. But Matt, what if I assume the best and I cut them some slack and they take advantage of that? Well, again, think your options through. They take advantage of you, which is terrible. They take advantage of you, and so next time around, you can either assume the worst, which tends to create the worst, or you can assume the best, which tends to create the best. I don't know what you think you should do, but Paul reminds us that love, it always, always protects. It always, always trusts. It always, always hopes. It always, always perseveres. And man, that's a challenge, eh? As a husband with only 25 years of practice, that's a challenge. Jesus said to me and Jesus said to you, he said, do to others as you would have them do to you. And so I think to myself, when I muck it all up, when I get it all wrong, when I sin against my wife, how would I like her to treat me? Would I prefer You let me down, you loser. You will never measure up ever. Or would I prefer to be cut a little slack and given a little grace? Do to others, he says, as you would have them do to you. And when I think of my relationships, when I think of some of the difficult people I know, it's pretty tough. But then I think we all mess up all the time, don't we? And I think maybe that I do it more than others. Again and again and again, I do stuff that I know is wrong. There's a time my wife was really mad at me, and I don't know what I did. I maybe left the toilet seat up again or something like that, but she was really mad, and I told her she had her knickers in a knot, and she exploded at me, and I really thought it'd be helpful to go into her bedroom and tie all her knickers in a knot, but that just really extended the fight for a couple of days later. And wherever I go, whatever I do, I seem to be, I muck it up and I stuff it up. But we all get it wrong, and we know that, don't we? And you know what? When I get it wrong, Jesus, who is God Himself, never once put the boot in. He never once came to us and said, "You know what? You let me down." He never once turned up like this cosmic policeman or this cosmic principal going, no. And you know what? You learn so much about a person when they're wronged. So much. Can you learn about a person when they're sinned against? Let's take a quick look at Jesus in Luke 23:32. When he was being wronged by the world. Luke 23:32. You know the story. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I'm sure you know this story. Jesus has been framed, mocked, beaten, whipped, and nailed to a cross. And I know your hubby's late home from work every day, and that's bad. And I know your wife forgot to pay the rego online, and that's bad. I know you've got it bad, and I certainly know I've got it bad. But this is much, much, much worse, isn't it? And Jesus is praying for his murderers as they murder him. And if it was me, thank goodness it wasn't, but if it was me, I know what I would have prayed, hey? I would have prayed, "Father, would you kill them slowly? Father, these scum, would you somehow get creative? Would you maybe combine a piranha and a snail and then set them on these people so that they can be slowly, torturously eaten alive? And if it was me, thank goodness, not me." Maybe that's how I would have prayed. But not Jesus. Jesus, Father, I know exactly what to do in this situation. I know exactly what I want you to do with this guilty, low-life scum that framed me and beat me and nailed me to a cross even though I did nothing wrong. I know exactly what I want you to do to people like that. I want you to forgive them. That's what I want, Father. Now, what would happen if we all had the same attitude as Jesus? If we all responded to sin and failure and disappointment and leaving the toilet seat up with forgiveness? What if we loved people even when they did us wrong, like Jesus did? Would our lives be better for that or worse for that? Forget all that. Would our lives be better for that or worse for that? They would be better for that, wouldn't they? Would our marriages be better for that or worse for that? Paul says, love, it always protects the relationship. Love, it always trusts your partner. Love always hopes for the best rather than assumes the worst. And you know what, says Paul? Love always perseveres no matter how many times it's been let down previously. So whether it's your marriage or your relationship with your father or your daughter or your best friend or your neighbor or your workmate or someone else at NBC, you will, I guarantee it, you will encounter the reality gap this week. And when you do encounter that reality gap this week, what will you fill that gap with? And so your homework from this session is to assume the best. When you come across the gap, assume the best. And I believe you'll be pleasantly surprised with how that works out. Because whatever, Paul knew this, whatever you fill the reality gap with tends to create reality. I don't have a watch. I'm done. Okay, so we can do questions or just move on. I hadn't planned to do questions, I just thought of that. Yeah. No, let's move on, I'll say heaps later. Okay, let's pray. Father God, before that, Lord Jesus. Man, the way they treated you was just horrific. But Father God, we have to admit that we played our part in that. It's not just the people out there, it's me. It's because of me, Jesus, that you had to go to the cross. Because of my sin, my failure, my poor treatment of my wife, my sinful treatment of my children. Because of me, you are nailed to a cross. But you never turned on me. You never stopped loving me. You never put the boot into us. You never condemned us and wrote us off. despite our sin, you continue to love us and love us all the way to the cross. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would be like you. Lord Jesus, when we come up against the reality gap this week, help us to assume the best. Help us to make loving decisions in our relationships, even when it's really, really hard. Help us to make loving decisions that always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. We pray this in your name. Amen.